You're listening to Into the
Ether. I have to sneeze.
What?
I have to sneeze, but I'm terrified that my bowels will evacuate if I do.
If you sneeze, it is very important that you clench at the same time. Aaron.
I'm going to sneeze. I'm going to clench and sneeze.
Listen to me.
I'm going to clench and sneeze.
Don't close your eyes. It's impossible to sneeze if your eyes are open. Open your eyes. You're being selfish.
I'm going to clench and sneeze.
Is it still in?
I think I broke a rib.
Guys, why aren't the brakes working?
Because I cut the brakes! Wild card, bitches! Yeah!
What? Jesus!
Oh, God! Oh, my God!
I am about to tell you something that'll change the face of history.
Silence is fucking golden.
I will smash your face into a jelly!
Jackpot!
Hey, man! Oh!
Say stage freeze, just do it.
Into the ether.
Into the ether, Jay and with Tom. How's everybody doing? It's been a few weeks. No more Justin. It's Tom. Go ahead and introduce yourself, Tom.
Hey guys, I'm Tom Letterly. I'll be taking over the show, basically touching on any kind of subject that sounds interesting, from philosophy to aliens, time travel, ghosts, the metaphysical, all the crazy fun
you
stuff.
You want the whole list?
Oh, yeah. The list is endless. We call it the end list, actually. It's the list to end all lists.
So basically, yeah, we're just, for everybody who listens to other, who's listened before, we're going to try to streamline it a little bit. It's not going to be as... I'm trying to think of a good word.
It's not going to be as linear.
As
wait, yes, it is.
not as cluster, you know, as foobarred as it was, as clusterfuckery that was going on. It's going to be more like... I don't know, what are we talking about trying to do? Maybe try to focus on one or two topics.
Yeah.
Try to keep it going. Maybe we'll have new stories and stuff like that too, but we're going to try to make it a little more organized than it was before. And just ramblings of...
Although we appreciate rambling. That's got, you know, that's an art in itself. Today we were going to talk about time.
Yeah, everything will be time themed.
And time, not just like time as we understand it, but time as... we can understand it and how our perception of it alters it. I guess starting off, the first thing I would say is traditionally we look at time as if it were a line, like a straight line that we just follow in one direction. There's two different schools of thought when it comes to time travel. Now, there are those who believe in the grandfather paradox, where there's one stream of time where if you go back in time and you kill your grandfather, then you would cease to exist, or some sort of instance would have to happen in order to prevent you from doing that, because that would create a paradox. And then the other version of time, this is the one that I believe in, is the alternate reality timeline, where basically time is like a tree. And at any given point in time, you can choose a different branch to go down. And
it's like the river theory, though, right? Kind of the same thing. I'm saying a tree, like branch, like rivers, but
yeah, like just like rivers, same principle. You know, it comes from the same source, but at any point, you could change your direction. And in the case like that, you could, if you travel back in time, you could change your future by changing your the reality that you're participating in. So basically, we perceive time in a linear fashion.
Right.
But if we perceived it in a more abstract way, or if we loosened our time goggles, so to speak, we would be able to see the different paths and choose to go down them instead.
Do you think time travel is possible?
I think time travel between time is possible.
If time is perceived differently by everybody, then how do you think you can time travel? You know what I mean? You understand what I'm saying? Are you time traveling in your perceived way that you...
Well, everybody perceives time differently. So
a minute to me could feel like 10 to you. You know what I mean? Like everyone...
Exactly.
There's also that, you know?
And that's kind of exactly what I'm talking about. It's like traveling between time would be to see time in more detail. Like, for example, if one person saw time... Like you said, if they saw a minute, and for another person that minute felt like 10 equivalent minutes, the person who experienced time as 10 minutes would be traveling between time because they would be seeing more in between.
That's one of the subjects that, you know, makes you go cross-eyed. You think too much about it. What about time existing within time? What do you think about that?
I'm not sure exactly what you mean. Could you elaborate?
Like, you ever felt like something, it's hard to explain, like something happening real time, but at the same time you're looking at it, it feels like it's completely slow-mo, but it's also happening so fast you can't stop it. You know what I'm talking about? Like something falling over, somebody's like in a chair and they start to fall backwards, and next thing you know, you see it all just unfolding nice and slow, but in reality, you know, you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, actually that's kind of how I would imagine the person that sees time as the 10, we'll call them the 10 minute person.
The in-between time?
Yeah. Like seeing time slower would be like being in between time. Like another example of, I guess a better way to explain it would be to call it like compressed time. A painting would be a perfect example of compressed time. Like an artist spends countless hours of time on one like painting that a person looks at and experiences the entire painting in a matter of seconds. So it's like they're experiencing a great amount of time in a short amount of time.
Right. I'm trying to...
Does that make sense?
No, I got what you're saying. I'm grasping what you're saying.
So I guess... For further future reference, I'm gonna call like these two characters, the 10-minute person and the 1-minute person. Like one person would see time faster, but they would see less of it. And another good example would be like magicians, like stage magic. They put countless hours into performing something that, when displayed, it becomes like immediately perceived. To all those people that experience it, they see it as like one event that happens in a blink of an eye. But for the magician who does all the planning, he would be traveling between time. So I guess we could use, if we could travel between time, we could definitely use that to our advantage, you know.
Don't you think, we were talking about on the other show, don't you think if it could happen, it would already happened already, and we would already kind of know about it? Or someone would by now would have come back accidentally or on purpose?
Well, I think it kind of does happen, but it's not necessarily something that it's like individually experienced, not universally experienced. For example, every decision you make, you're choosing one of the branches or one of the rivers, you know, from the stream. Mm-hmm. You're choosing one of these paths. But there's a moment that you're contemplating which path to take. And in that moment, you're kind of pausing time, because instead of time continuing in a regular fashion, you've slowed it down in order to make your decision.
But doesn't that go against your everything's predetermined theory that you kind of told me is laid out?
Well, everything... Okay. This is a different direction, but this is fun, so I'm going to take this too. Everything... Okay, you can say everything's predetermined, or you can say we have free will.
Yeah, but you said you believe in some kind of predetermined free will, as Ken put it.
I guess that's kind of... I guess that's the way of wrapping it up quite quickly and nicely like a present. But it's more complicated than that. I mean, I believe we have free will to choose from any alternate path or any alternate reality, because whatever path we choose becomes our new reality. So basically every decision we make, we're shifting from one reality to another. And in that sense, we do have free will. In the sense that we don't have free will, everything already does exist because it exists potentially in our mind. So we can't necessarily create a new decision or a new thing, because every possibility exists as a possibility, and then it becomes from possibility to manifestation.
And I have a headache. Oh, well. No, I'm sorry.
Anyway, we've kind of gone off topic.
Veered off a little bit.
Yeah. So I was talking about traveling between time.
Right.
Every day you make decisions, and every day you weigh the options and think about all the possible directions you can go. And in that decision-making moment, like, you are changing or shifting reality into, your new desired path. But it's never actually, like, set in stone either, because we're constantly changing it.
Do you think there's any way to make yourself perceive time differently, to possibly not necessarily make yourself live longer, but it's a weird question. Try to think of a way to word it. Kind of slow things down. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, if you kind of perceive time your own way, is there a way that you could train your brain and train?
That's actually something I'm experimenting,
working on right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have to train your mind to see everything as a whole instead of as, pieces aligned in order. Like, for example, something as simple as, like, okay, what am I going to eat for dinner tonight? You know, and you think about, like, okay, if I eat Chipotle, I might regret it tomorrow. But if I eat pizza, I'll be happy now. And all these predictions that you make are like experimenting or like testing with possible realities. You're like, this will take me down this path. Like, do I want to do that? So it's like our brain is kind of like the buffer. Like, we could choose. We can virtually experience something before we take the path. Speaking of paths, I think I've just derailed. what was my point anyway? you asked me how we could alter the way we perceive time.
Yeah.
Okay. See things as a whole, and I've been trying to exercise my brain muscles, trying to envision this. And I don't know if any of you listeners are artists, but sometimes when you're, like, drawing or writing music, you just get, like, right into the zone, and you like, sense where the pencil's going to go before it goes there, or you sense what note you're going to play next. And that's kind of, like, for me, it's, like, that kind of mind state.
Like reacting without thinking?
Yeah.
Always. I've actually read a thing about one way to help do that. You know how people... It's a human nature to, when you think, you normally think out loud. Like, I wonder if, or, hey, do you think, you know what I'm saying? If you can train every time you go do that, if you can catch yourself as that thought's coming out and actually just inner monologue and not waste the time from thought to words, you actually speed up your thinking, and then you can start training yourself to do that. You'll actually.
So, like, if you remove the filter?
Yeah. If you,
like, you just.
Like, not necessarily filter, but, like, most people, that's how they think. Not, like, with everything, but I'm saying, like, thoughts. Like if you don't know something, like when you think you don't know something, do you normally, like, if you want to go see a movie at a theater and you're like, I wonder what time blah blah plays, or I'm gonna go look, you know what I'm saying? Like when you make comments like that to yourself, mm-hmm. if you could try to catch those before they come out, and you just think, I'm like, hey, I wonder what time the movie plays, and you're thinking in your head, you don't need to say it, you're saving processing power, brain power, and things come out quicker.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like instead
you
of
start, like
energy.
You're saying, everything becomes, you react more, less thinking and processing and speech time, and it's just,
yeah,
you think and answer yourself, you know what I mean, inside your own head before you have time to say it and think about it.
So if you master this ability, then
I don't know what would happen if you mastered it, but
well, let's find out. Yeah. Let's see. Where was I?
I guess I threw you off there.
No, I got to train my brain to be able to handle that anyways. How to train your brain to think, how to perceive time differently. Again, like if you see yourself in the zone, if you've ever experienced that mentality, and you can experience the zone with anything. It doesn't have to be like art. It could be a sport. It could be in regular conversation. But it's like that, like riding the wave, you know. It's like your thought process and all the patterns that have been set down before you kind of create this motion. And if you can sense the motion, then you can like ride it, and with exerting the least amount of energy, be able to, I guess, go down the most, what's the word I'm looking for? Not the most common path, but the most likely path. Again, like you're always making decisions, you're always choosing which tree branch to go down.
Right.
And if you pay attention closely to all the variables in the room, you know, anything from background noise to conversation to like whatever's going on the television, is like they're all patterns. And if you can sense where the patterns align, you can ride that wave, and then it will take you into the most likely future direction. And actually, I was thinking about there's a scene in Back to the Future, and we were talking about Back to the Future earlier. There's a scene where Marty McFly is on his skateboard, and this truck drives by, and he grabs onto the back of the truck and hitches a ride that way. And that's kind of like a good metaphor for time.
Can I see the music?
Yeah, we may treat you guys to the power of love later, if you're good. So like, let's say the truck represents like the most common path of time. Again, like you could go down any street, you can go down any tree branch or any stream. But whatever the variables are pointing towards, the most likely current, if you can ride it, you can experience the zone. And when you experience the zone, it's like everything's creating itself. You know, like you don't even have to work for it. It's a beautiful place to be.
See, that's kind of what I was reading. That's kind of what you just described. It's kind of what I read. I just can articulate it as well as you just articulated. if anybody understands what he just said.
Have you experienced the zone, like in sports, mm-hmm. or yeah?
Yeah. I definitely understand what you're saying.
What circumstance? I mean.
Oh, there's been sports normally. It's that weird. Are you talking kind of like when everything just
falls into place,
slows
and
down,
it comes
kind of feels right, and everything just you're just kind of you know it's gonna happen. It's happening as you know it's gonna happen, kind of thing.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And I love that feeling, and it's something that I want to be able to sense and awesome. Activate on cue. So we could train our brains to perceive time differently, and by exerting less energy, we would be able to accomplish more. Again, like you would sense the most common.
I was gonna say that's right. Are you like a super, super, super self-aware person? Like, do you? It's hard to.
Like, do I analyze
everything? Yeah.
Yes.
Because I'm asking because. Like I used to be on meds because they diagnosed me with OCD, because all the stuff you talk about doing and analyzing all that kind of stuff, that's what I do constantly. So I was just wondering, because you remind me a lot of myself actually with some of the things you say.
Yeah,
it's kind of weird. It's kind of creepy. I'm just curious. I'm just asking.
Yes, I am definitely hyper aware.
about like everything? Do you like analyze every choice you make and
yes.
think everything? Yeah, see that?
And it can be crippling, so I try to keep it in check. But it also can bring some useful information as well. You know, it's like that kind of awareness could give you insight into people's personality types, you know, their
past. Are you able to control it though? I mean, like my problem is like my brain never stops. Everything's an equation. Everything's a number. Like I'm constantly, I can't slow my brain down. Like there's a way that you cope with that or do you,
I think,
is it perfect for you?
No, I have practiced a lot and I think I have a pretty good control over it. And the thing that's helped me the most is art. And you know, if I have an idea that I want to express, I find that art becomes like the filter, or not even like the filter. It's like the funnel. You know, it takes all that silliness and it just puts it into like one super fine laser.
I'm trying to think. Were you ever anxious when you were younger?
No, before not ever, really. No.
See, that's my problem is now is because of that I get anxious because I just analyze. Like for example, if you were to leave the studio and trip and fall, going out the stairs and cut your leg, okay, I would think about every pot. I'm not kidding. Like, okay, what if? Okay, say he doesn't think it's a big deal. The cut gets infected. This, you know what I'm saying? I will think every possible scenario down the line. Like, yeah. That's what I'm saying. That kind of stuff drives me crazy.
It actually sounds like you have a more loosened connection to time if you're experiencing all these alternate realities in your mind all the time. I mean, it sounds like your mind kind of is that like in between zone where, you know, you're experiencing these alternate realities. They're not necessarily the manifested ones, and that can be a very like beneficial thing. But more particularly, if you do that before a decision, because if you do it after a decision, it's kind of doesn't really help.
I
wish I did that instead.
That's my problem is I'm not a super good, you know, planning person. I can't sit down and give you a long drawn out plan. Like if we were going to go try to do something, you know, whatever it would be, but on the fly, you know what I mean? Like I can take every scenario and go, okay, this is why we're not going to do this, or this is why we got to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if we were sit down here and we try to come up with a plan on how to rob a bank, I'd be like,
yeah,
but if it was, you know what I mean?
I understand that. and for me, it's more fun not to plan because it's more of like a challenge for your brain, like to hurry up and come up with the best solution on the fly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree 100% with that.
Like it's actually difficult for me to focus on things. I would just assume like the reason I started writing music and doing like paintings or drawings or whatever is because they were like, it was like fast food for the brain. It was just like, I had an idea. I could get it out on paper right away or write a song. And then that was it. Like, I didn't have to.
This might be like therapy hours. For you then a little bit. You get on here and just go.
That's what I'm hoping for. Yeah. Yeah. I have a lot of stuff in my brain that I feel like I've, you know, you live your life and you learn things and you don't want it to be in vain. You want to like get it out and see if other people understand. Mm-hmm. So
you took right off. I wasn't sure. I mean, you literally hit the ground running like the show starting. You're like, okay, time.
Oh, yeah, this is great.
No pleasantries. We're just going to get right into it.
Yeah, I don't want to bore you with the details of my life.
You got to a little bit. You got to have – you're a personality now, so you got to
– Well, this is all you need to know. I'm sort of human. I grew up in Ohio, and I moved to Florida.
That makes him sort of human.
Yeah, I'm a subhuman.
But you guys aren't from the farm area.
No,
right?
Actually, it's funny. Like everyone views Ohio as like farm country, but it's really just, well, where we came from.
There's a lot of farm up there, man. Come on.
Yeah, but where we're from, we don't see any cows or anything. We see deer, but there's also like cities. You know, like
it's closer to like where we are here, right? Sarasota, Bradenton, kind of a little bit bigger.
No, well, okay. I came from Medina, and Medina is. It kind of had this like Victorian atmosphere to it. Like if you go downtown, you see there's all kind of shops. You know, there's like brick streets.
Yeah, like the old time old town, like 1800 brick.
Yep, exactly, yeah, exactly nice like that. Like there's an old fire station. Yeah. There's like a gazebo in the middle.
That's
of the square.
How it is everywhere. Like once you get north of Georgia,
yeah,
North Georgia and up, that's how it is all the way up the east coast.
It's like they decorate their city with all the remnants from the Civil War. I guess I don't know. It's
those little towns are awesome though, because during holidays they go crazy too. You know what I mean, like 4th of July, there's 8,000 flags, or St. Patrick's Day, you know what I mean? Like everything's green, or, you know, it's like.
Yeah, yeah, it's, there's all, the people there are, they're either like rich yuppies, or they're like, how do I put this nicely, dirt poor drug addicts. And I grew up in the nice part of town.
So you were a yuppie?
But we weren't too spoiled. I kind of
yuppie or meth head, which were you? You just classified it as two things.
Well, I'm gonna have to plead the fifth. But as soon as I moved out of my house, I went to the crackier part of town, and I didn't partake too much of the mortal sins, but I did just enough to not crack sins. Of course.
Yeah, Ken's told me some stories, and I know he's not here to defend himself, so I won't obviously get into much, but he sounded like he was the partier of your group.
Ken, yeah,
he told me he was one that always walked the line and managed to not get in trouble. You know what I mean? Like, he constantly managed to find himself not in trouble. When everything was exploding around him, it was like, go home. All right.
Yeah, he did. He kept his hands clean. And
he managed to do that at work a lot, too. He's real...
Yeah, he's real low key. Like, he can slip by without, you know, he could, like, there could be a riot going on and he could have started it and he could just, like, sneak between two cops. Yeah.
All right. Well, so, I was going to say, well, you did, we almost went a half an hour, which is the best we've ever done on this show without, you know, trailing off into needing to take a break to get reorganized.
Excellent.
But, let's take a quick break and, we'll come back. You good? You feeling good? Right. You feeling confident?
I'm feeling good, yeah. I love you guys. XO.
Into the ether.
Into the ether.
Into the ether. A little Huey Lewis there.
Huey, not, Dewey, Louie.
Not our
Lewis
normal, or not our normal
genre.
I'm trying to think of the word. Yeah, stoner music's not the right word. Mellow.
It's too upbeat and cheesy.
Atmospheric. Yeah,
but the sometimes you need that.
What if it's time theme? What's your? You like Back to the Future, don't you?
Back to the Future is incredible.
Okay, what would be your? There's got to be at least. I would say top 10. Let's say top 5. What are your top 5 favorite time travel movies?
Oh,
since we're on that subject.
It's a good question. 12 Monkeys would have to be in there.
See, that's one I've never seen, and I always get yelled at for not seeing that.
They have a time consistent time paradox in that movie. Well, if you haven't seen it, I'm not going to ruin it for you, but it's very well written.
I'm pretty sure someone spoiled it for me, but that was about 6 or 7 years ago, and I don't quite remember it. So I'm almost to the point where I want to go see it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, yeah, definitely see it. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Did you see that they're making a third one?
Yes, I'm excited about that. let's see. Obviously, you have to have Back to the Future.
Now, how would you? We'll rate the trilogy as one, because,
okay,
you know what I mean. What's your order for those? I'm just curious.
What's my order of favorite? Like, what's first?
What would you say? Like, how would you rank the trilogy?
Oh, the Back to the Future trilogy.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess it would have to be the order that they came out: 1, 2, 3. Everyone loves 2, and I love 2 also. And
I think it's the futuristic stuff. I used to say that too, and she actually, Michelle, she took film classes and that kind of stuff, and actually broke down the first movie for me as to reasons why it's better than the second one. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
You're right. It is. It is a little bit stronger.
It's very well directed. And I don't know. There's just so many legendary scenes. Like, you think about the Back to the Future and you think, oh, like, 2 is awesome because you see all the awesome technology. And then you see, like, 3, okay, that was a great idea, completely out of the blue. You know, it's a Western movie.
The people that hate on 3, I don't quite understand. I thought for what it was really, really well done.
Yeah, I agree. And kudos for doing something different.
Yeah, totally different for a time travel movie, a Western time travel movie.
Yeah. And then, but 1 is just my favorite because there's just so many perfect quotes. There's so many perfect scenes. Such great.
The music, the score.
Acting, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. What's another good time travel movie? Primer is a good one. I would consider that there.
Never seen that.
Gosh, I don't know if I can.
I know I'm trying to think right now myself to answer the same question. I don't know if I have 5.
Yeah, I might have to stop there.
Have you ever seen the movie called? Oh shoot, it's not the name of the movie.
It's not Time Bandits, is it?
No, huh? Frequently asked questions about time travel.
No.
I will give that to you before you leave. Let you watch it. You will like it. It's an independent. It's HBO Films and BBC. It's have you ever seen? I know you said you don't watch a lot of commercial movies, but have you ever seen Bridesmaids?
No.
This guy, he's like a Scottish actor. He was big over there in a lot of independent movies. I cannot think of the guy's name, but he's in it. And I'm just trying to think of like stars maybe that you might know. And Anna Faris actually is in the movie.
Is it a documentary or is it actually like
it's a
film?
No, it's like a comedy comedy drama, time travel movie. It's pretty good though. I think you'd like it. Do you like comedies?
Yes.
It's kind of off the wall. Like I said, it's a British movie. They all have accents and stuff. It was made over there.
Yeah, I'll check that out. All right. And before we get too deep, I wanted to plug myself here. I have a
You want to plug yourself?
Yep. Okay. Yes. Everyone put your hands over your ears. I have a t-shirt website. It's on etsy.com/shop/.
You want to spell that Etsy for everybody just to make sure?
Etsy.com, etsy.com/shop/magic. And I have to spell this one too, magick shirts, shirts. Yeah, that's it.
Okay, let's put that on the website, on the Facebook.
So, Etsy.com/shops/magic shirts.
Can you get to it if you were to just go to Etsy.com? Could you navigate to it?
You could probably type in like magic shirts with like the search engine and find it.
Okay. I'm just making sure for people who.
Yes, I make shirts. That's kind of magic themed shirts, and I need to sell them because I need money. So check that out. So I guess we can get back into the time travel. I think that what we left off was how we perceive time.
Yeah, I think that's what you were racking my brain about.
And how we can change the way we perceive time. And one of the ways that I would say a person perceives time differently would be dyslexia. Like if a person writes something out of order, it means that they see the image as a whole instead of like linear segments, for example. Like children, you know, they write a word and they have all the letters correct. It's just that they write the letters in a different order. But it just means that their brain, like, processes it in a different order. So I guess my point would be that children probably have a more, like, a vague definition of time. And it's that kind of vagueness that allows for more opportunity. Like, again, that goes back to the perceiving time differently.
Gotcha.
And the thing, you look like you're going to say something.
No, you're good.
The thing that that affects the way we perceive time more than anything else is memory. We perceive events to occur like after another. Mm-hmm. So
what do you mean events to occur after
another? Well, time exists in our mind because our memory organizes events. Mm-hmm. So instead of thinking of time as like some sort of outside force that everyone has to obey. Look at it as something that everyone experiences differently, and they create in their mind as they go. So memory is like the footprints of time. By creating memories, you create a path, and this path is your individual perception of time.
Not to jump too far off, but it actually has something to do with it, but do you believe in the theories about how there's memories in our DNA? And how,
yes,
like, that's what some people try to explain for reincarnation, is when people have those memories, it's because the memories are in the DNA from their family, because it's their great-great-great-grandfather or whatever, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's what I always try to blame it on.
I believe that. I would...
I can't wrap my head around a DNA strand from your, you know, your arm triggering a memory in your brain. You know what I'm saying? Like some kind of DNA from some... You know what I'm saying? Like how you get the same...
Yeah.
It's just...
It's like... Well, so you're saying... Like you understand the physical body being changed by DNA, but not necessarily the mind?
What I'm saying... Like I don't understand how your brain... Like I'm just... Reincarnation, you know what I'm saying? Like, as far on the time.
Okay, so you're saying instead of... Okay.
No, go ahead. No, you're good. I'm just trying to... No, while you're talking, I'm just trying to think of another way to articulate it in case...
Okay, well, here's my take on reincarnation. I think that that there's... First of all, I don't really believe in time. I think that's something...
That's what I was going to say. It's more like a circular time thing. I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
The reincarnation thing.
I think that reincarnation or memories of past lives, I think that's just kind of like where the information is stored in God's brain. Like everything that exists is God's brain. And
well, how
time.
Do you explain it though? Like, okay, true story. I'll give you an example. She doesn't talk about it anymore, but I have a daughter. She's 5 now. When she was 3 and 4, she used to tell me these really ridiculously freaky, scary stories of how she died when she was... This was the years ago, and she would tell me, she's like, oh, years ago I died in a fire and my brothers and sisters died and it hurt really. I mean, like these vivid, like I'm talking, she's just started learning how to, you know, conjugate sentences and stuff, and is telling me about this brutal death and this fire, how she was old and how it hurt here, and would point to these spots. It's just, like, I don't understand how DNA, you know what I'm saying? Like how a memory from someone else down the line could have, I don't know. I don't.
Okay. Well, here's a way that I would interpret that. Well, one, I think that any soul can live forever if they want, but I think in order to live forever, you have to keep changing bodies. I think you can hold on to whatever memories you want to, but I think that as time progresses, we eventually shed memories as we change. So if there's such thing as reincarnation and people... You know, say they live a complete life and then they come back in their new life and they're a new person, they'll hold on to those old memories, you know, for a while, but then eventually new things become more important and they kind of, you know, lose contact.
Wait, but where are they holding those memories at? Like,
well, it could be in the DNA. I mean, it could be in the blood. It could be in the brain.
So that person has to come back in the same family, you know what I mean? Like the same DNA. Same family.
Oh, I don't think it's like that. I think it's kind of like whatever the most likely or most appropriate available vessel. Like let's say you know a person dies and they're like disconnected from their body, but their essence, you know, their ideas still exist, and they could either like turn into space dust and disappear into everything, or they could look for a new home.
Okay, well, then what's your official stance? How do you think that goes? Okay, so say, and you're 70, you croak right now, and go, where do you go from there?
Well, I don't think that anyone has to die. I think that because there's an infinite amount of alternate realities, you could either switch to a reality where you don't die. Like, for example...
I've never heard that before. Go on.
In this conversation, I've died an infinite amount of times, but I don't perceive that because the path that I choose to be conscious of...
You're saying like there's an infinite number of paths you could have taken that would have led you to being dead already in another... Since there are supposedly an infinite number of universes or dimensions that happened already somewhere, kind of.
Yeah. So it's kind of like you're just shifting dimensions constantly. You're choosing the dimension of life. I'm choosing to perceive life. I'm choosing to exist. Therefore, I'm not aware of those things. It doesn't mean they're not real. In somebody else's alternate reality, I died, you know? Like, there's another version of you in another reality where a car crashed into the house and I exploded and you lived and witnessed it.
There's another one where you just walked out the studio door into the traffic and got hit by a bus for no reason at all.
Yep. And it sucks for my alternate reality families. You know, it sucks.
Why would Tom just walk into traffic?
But, you know, that's Tom's agenda.
So. Right, but... go ahead. I'm trying to remember what I was going to say. I don't remember now.
Well, people believe in heaven and hell. They believe that when you die...
Yeah, so I was going to say, well, what do you actually believe, though, okay? You know, you're saying that you don't have to die. So are you trying to say, are you trying to figure out how to get to another perception before...
There's an infinite amount of heavens and hells, first of all. There's not just, like, you know, infinite happy and infinite sad or whatever. There's, you know...
There has to be light to have dark. And there has to be, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't have one without the other.
And none of them are permanent. You can shift back and forth, you know, all you want. Like, there is no perfect heaven. There is no perfect hell. There's pretty much just this. There's just purgatory. And you can, you know, go down or you can go up. It's your decision. And every choice you make, you're experiencing, you know, a different heaven or a different hell.
Like, right. So, but what do you believe?
Well, I mean,
what do you think's going to happen? I mean,
that is what I believe. Like, I don't believe that I'm going to die. I might die in other people's versions of reality.
Well, I'm saying in this reality that we're currently in.
Okay. Well, you're in a different reality than I am, so I don't know how to answer that.
Okay. I got what you're saying. Now I understand what you're saying. So I perceive you.
So, like, you're in your reality. I'm in my reality, and they overlap a little bit. But this is also my interpretation of you, which is an extension of myself. Like you're an idea, and this idea exists in like a vague form. And when I, you know, approach you, have a conversation with you, like this form becomes solid and expresses ideas, and it communicates to me. But we can only really communicate what parts overlap. You feel me? Like, for example, we could have a conversation. Everything that comes out of the conversation is going to be like a product of what we have in common.
Right. But
I guess
I understand what you're. I do understand what you're saying. So you're saying. I guess maybe I don't. So the you sitting in front of me right now is just an idea that. I have.
It's your interpretation of me.
Right, I understand. But you're there, aren't you?
I believe myself to be consciously here.
Right. I don't know. I just feel like we're going out in circles. You believe yourself to be there. So, right, we want to ask you questions. You answer. You think, you know, I mean, like, I understand what you're trying to say, but we are here. I mean, like, you go to the hospital. You go, you know what I mean? Like, you interact with, you're married. You, I mean.
Yeah. But there... I think that what you're asking is there a collective reality like that?
You know Ken, I know Ken. We both knew Ken, but didn't know who each other was. We both still, you know what I'm saying? He talked to both of us. We both still exist. I might have seen your picture on Facebook. You know what I'm saying? Like, but that didn't stop you from,
yeah,
your life going on and all the things that happened before I met you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think there is a collective reality that everybody experiences. But there's also an infinite amount of collective realities. So it's
when you say that you don't feel like you're going to die, the way you feel, like in your head, because like I think I kind of am somewhat on your wavelength. So I'm saying like that the version of you that's sitting in the chair right now, whatever that, you know, my idea, you don't think that you are going to die?
Well, it does die, but it's not like death. It's just like transformation. Like, I'm not the same person I was in the beginning of this conversation because information has passed through me. I've learned new things and I've transformed.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no like constant like version of me that's going to live forever. There are certain patterns that that like continue longer than other patterns, you know, like speech patterns or thought patterns, and those seem to stretch longer throughout time. You know, like maybe like a sense of humor, like somebody might have a sense of humor that they seem to have, you know, the majority of their life. It's just like that quality or whatever has been like stretched across time, while other qualities can come and go. So
that's weird to think about.
So the me that's here, well, I'm not going to say the me that's here is going to live forever, because it's going to be somebody different. It's already somebody different.
Right, but like your consciousness, do you think it goes somewhere else? Like what you can think right now, you know, your self-awareness, mm-hmm. Does that continue on, you think? Where you're going to continue to be self-aware, or does that fade away and then whatever other reality? You know what I'm saying? You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. I think it can. I think I can pick and choose whatever memories I want, and, you know, that would be my personality. Like, whatever memories I'm composed of is gonna determine who I am, the decisions I make.
Right.
And if I chose to stay the same person indefinitely, I could. I would rather change, you know, grow, learn new things.
And I'm not trying to sound morbid, so I apologize for the questions or that sounding, because it's, you know, angled towards death, but I'm just curious, you know.
Well, I mean,
how you think of that kind of stuff.
I mean, I really think that death is just an illusion, and there's no such thing as death. There's only change.
Well, let's just say, like, for example, okay, say someone kicked the front door, or, you know, the door here, and just like put a gun to both our heads and just like boom boom, like, so I mean, what do you think? I'm just trying to, like, on a, you know, like on a scale, like, what do you actually think would happen from that point? Do you think that's just it, and that would be it for you, and that's it? Or do you think, you know what I mean?
If I chose that reality to manifest, then I could
choose. You think you can choose that to not happen? Like,
to an extent, it depends on the other will of other people. For example, if someone's will was stronger than our combined will to live, if somebody wanted us to die more than we wanted to live, then they might succeed. It's all about like
who. That's kind of interesting what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. That's
so it's like the reality that manifests is the product of the strongest will.
So you're saying that kind of means, do you think thoughts then come into play with that, what actually happened?
Absolutely,
you constantly,
yeah.
Dwell, like, you constantly, like, man, I sure hope, you know, something doesn't fall out of the sky and crush me while I'm sleeping. And you thought about that every day.
You are increasing the probability. Yeah, exactly. You are. Because that's like I was saying before about thinking about decisions before they happen. Like, you're
right.
Experimenting with possible future realities. The more you focus on a future reality, the more likely it is to manifest.
So here's a good one. So if you think, okay, say you ran something through your head, like you just constantly think, like, man, I really need to go to the store, okay? Like, say you're sitting at home and you're hungry, but you have no food, and you're like, I want to run to Burger King. And in your head, you think about how long it's going to take. That in your head, do you think that's what's actually happening when you start talking about realities? Like, are you actually seeing the
mean,
that's actually currently going to Burger King when you're talking about that?
Oh, you mean when you experiment in your head? With
like you close your eyes and you imagine, like, you can actually see yourself.
Yeah.
Night. You know what I'm trying to say?
I think it could be. I don't know if there's any way to know for sure. I think most of the time it's probably not, but I think it can be. Perfect example is you think about places that you've never been. You know, like my friends tell me a story about work or whatever, and in my mind I imagine what their work looks like,
mm-hmm.
and then I'm there and it looks nothing like that. But I don't think that really... It's like one of those little variables or details that doesn't really matter. It's like you just kind of fill in the blanks. It's like the will is there. It doesn't matter how accurate, like, the imagination is. Like, for example, if... I want a sub sandwich, you know, and I start thinking about a sub sandwich, mm-hmm. and I've already kind of, like, set my mind in that direction, so that's the reality that's going to manifest. The more vague your desire is, the more likely the probability of it manifesting. If you want, like, a specific sub place, then then it becomes less likely because it becomes more difficult to manifest a particular reality.
Yeah, I was gonna. The reason I asked that because I seemed like I noticed a pattern. Like, I started thinking about, like, I hadn't seen my dad in a few years, and I kept thinking, like, man, I'm worried about him. I haven't seen him. I kept dwelling on it, and then, boom, I see him. And then it was like a couple instances happen like that. Like, you think about something happening, and then it seems to happen. Like, when you think about it.
Yep.
When you think about it a lot, it happens. And that seems pretty specific, though.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is that, you know what I mean? It's harder.
Well, I think that you are creating it, but it also works both ways, too. It's like, here's an example. Somebody I was working with, she was praying for money. Like, she needed money, so she was praying for it. And then, like, a couple days later, she got a check from an old job that she didn't have anymore. I guess they went out of business or something, and it took them a few months to finally send the check.
Right.
So it works both ways. Like, that was on its way, but it was kind of like her desire for it to occur at that exact moment kind of like coincided, and they kind of like created each other as an event. Mm-hmm. It's like the absence of something.
That's the whole, if a tree falls in the forest, doesn't make it sound like, if she wouldn't have really, really been praying and wanting that money, would the check back ever, like you're saying, like it did happen, it was going to happen, but was it going to happen?
Yeah, that's the thing, you'll never know. It seems like it would work both ways, though. Like, you could want something to happen, or it could be sending you reverberations. Like,
or that it's about to happen, and that's why you're starting to think about it.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. Again, that's transcending time.
Jeez.
It's like your sense. Like, for example, maybe you made your father call by transmitting those thoughts, or maybe you sensed that he was about to, you know?
Oh, no, it's actually like physically run into him, kind of a, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Again, he could have just been like reverberations from that event. Like, the future can send reverberations into the past. And not to say that I'm an expert. This is all just stuff that I've developed in my mind. Like, living.
No, you're an expert.
Okay, yes.
Well, everyone, Dr. Tom.
Yeah, but you know, I'm not going to pretend I'm a psychiatrist or anything. I'm just a regular person that
I'm not going to pretend because I am.
I don't need any of that paper bullshit.
If you think yourself enough to be one,
that's true. That's the lesson. Okay. Okay. Back to memories. We're talking about how memories create the impression of time. I don't even want to say the illusion of time, because it's kind of like saying it's redundant. You could say life is an illusion, but it's also as real as it gets. So same with time. Time's an illusion, but it's as real as reality. It's as real as life. So memories are what creates the impression of time. Now, if you had unorganized memories, you might perceive time in a different fashion. Let's see here.
Do you think the memories could be, like we were talking about on the other show, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind?
Yeah.
Do you think that you could access memories and actually go into like a, you know, like an inception kind of like with dreams, with memories? Do you think you could actually access those?
I do. Yeah, I think.
Do you think could. The technology is coming for that? Well, I mean, realistic. Like, have you ever played the game Assassin's Creed?
No.
That's like they kind of like they put them on a, like in a computer kind of a thing. Access. It's based on the whole DNA thing that we were talking about earlier, like memories that are in your DNA, and they access his DNA because his ancestors are these assassins, and then they recreate the world from the memory of the DNA.
Yeah.
You know, you understand what I'm trying to say?
I think that's possible. I don't even think we have to have technology to do it. I think it's something that's built into us. I think that kind of information.
What do you mean?
I think that if you want to relive a memory, like, you can hypnotize yourself and experience it. It doesn't mean like you can just jump right into it. I mean, it's a lot of like sculpting your mind the way that you want it. Like, you could see, experience, feel anything that you've felt before. It's just about finding the proper path, you know, and the way to find the proper path would be to find enough variables to recreate it. For example, let's say I want to re-experience my wedding day. I would have to gather as many variables as possible, you know, like the flower. Like, I would have to smell the flowers that we bought. I would have to eat dinner or lunch or whatever from the same restaurants. And then all these memories are all stored kind of in the same section of my brain. So once you activate enough of these memories, it seems like it would just kind of come naturally. And that's kind of like where we develop our patterns. You know, we tend to repeat ourselves throughout our entire life, and it's really just kind of like the residue from you know, previous instances.
It's like every life is just in residue of previous instances that we all kind of just continually never learn and do the same thing over and over and over. That's kind of a depressing way to look at it.
Well, I didn't say that. Well,
kinda. I mean,
no, I think that's like the standard, you know. Like, these patterns are there to just kind of guide us, you know. Like, the patterns are kind of like the most likely current, you know, like I was saying before about being in the zone. Like, the patterns lay out the ground in front of you. It doesn't mean that you have to follow that path, though. You could transcend the patterns, especially when you become aware of them.
That's
great. So
let's take a minute.
Yeah.
I need my brain to cool down again.
Cool. Yeah, let's take a break.
Grab water.
See you guys.
Into the ether. We'll be right back.
Into the ether.
Just a waste of her energy, and she's just wasting my time.
Hey, we are back.
Why don't we get together?
Well, that was fun. let's see here. We were talking about time for those of you who just tuned in.
Yeah, not yet. Live soon.
One of the things about time is prophecy. We were thinking about how prophecy affects time, and is prophecy a form of time travel? And I think yes. I think.
Wait, you mean making a prophecy, like a prediction?
Yeah.
You think it's a form of time travel?
I do.
Please elaborate.
talking about like different paths. If you choose to go in a particular path, you know, while you're in this kind of like in between, like decision time, you say, okay, for example, I want to be an astronaut. Okay. Maybe when you're a kid, you decide you want to be an astronaut and you just have it in your head your entire life and you're always thinking about it and you envision it. And when you grow up, it becomes true because you have perceived outside of time, and in your perception, you've continued towards the particular path or the particular branch.
But that doesn't always work, right? I mean, obviously, I perceive myself to be an NFL quarterback for a good chunk of time before.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on will, you know, like how much willpower a person has, how much they really want something. A lot of times people don't even know what they want, so they kind of don't have a specific goal in mind.
Will definitely works. I used to weigh 287 pounds, and I willed myself into losing weight, exercising, eating right. Now I'm a svelte 160.
Yeah. We use time to manifest our will. Time is just like a tool like anything else. If we use it properly and we understand it, obviously we can reap the benefits.
So when you hear, I'm trying to think of the scientists who say it. So when they say, like, do you believe time does exist? When they say time doesn't exist, do you actually believe that? Or do you believe, like, there's another word for it? Like, time as we know it doesn't exist.
I think it's hard to describe. It's not like time just exists.
It's not like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock.
Yeah, there's not a definite rule. Now there's like a vague sense of time that most people are connected to, and within that they have their own flexibility. For example, gravity affects time. Time actually, I think time would go slower the closer you were to the center of the Earth.
Yeah, I've read that. So time would actually go slower?
Yeah, because, well, obviously, the closer you get to the center of the Earth, the less you would be rotating. If you get to the exact center, you would basically be still. Or same as like if you were in the center of the sun, for example.
Would time actually physically be slowing down, or would it be like if you took a clock down there, it wouldn't be, the time wouldn't match up because it would be spinning slower? You know what I mean? Like, would it be actually like slow-mo?
It would go at a different rate, just like...
like your heart would be different, everything would be different, you know what I mean? Like beats per minute would change.
Yes.
All that kind of, really?
Yeah. Like, you know, let's say you take two identical watches. One goes out into space and one stays on Earth.
Yeah, I've seen that. And then when it comes back, it's...
Yeah. Wait, I don't even know if I can wrap my head around that.
But which way? Isn't the one in space slower, right?
The one in space would, yes, it would be slower.
They say, like, it's like with space travel, if you left and then came back, yeah, like, you see people age quicker than, depending on how long you're gone. Yeah, I can't wrap my head around that either. It doesn't make sense to me. Like,
It's hard to it's hard to understand. I don't understand it, obviously. but I'm not a, well,
whatever. So, I mean, like, in that experiment, how bad, I mean, like, is it just, did they just go into orbit, or did they do one, like, did they go to the moon? Were they paying attention to that? Because it'd be crazy to kind of see how different it gets the farther away you get.
Yeah.
Like, if you're on Mars.
Well, the further you would be from a gravitational pull, the slower time would go.
So you mean as you got closer to another one, it would speed back up again?
Yes.
So like, if you were on Mars trying to, you know what I'm saying? It would...
Geez, I don't know if you were on Mars. Let me put it this way. If there's three of the same, one of them's on Earth, one of them's on the moon, and one of the watches is just in outer space,
mm-hmm.
the one in outer space would be moving the slowest, or it would be behind the other ones, and then the moon, and then the Earth.
It would be moving slower. It would just be behind the other ones. Why?
Yes. Because God made it that way.
That's the way it is. It's better not to get mad about not figuring it out.
The more gravity something has, the more, I guess the more slowly, or it's more, I don't even know how to.
Time it
is? Yeah. Point is, gravity affects time.
You'd be a great teacher. That's just the point, okay? All that stuff I said for 10 minutes, I'm back to my original thing. It just.
Now, where do we come from, though? I don't know why we're talking about that. Okay, I know why.
Well, because you said gravity affects time, and then you went on.
Everybody has their own gravitational pull as well, so time is experienced differently by the individuals. But this is also infinitesimally smaller of a difference.
So if I experience time at like a super quicker rate than you do, and you're hanging out with me, you'd experience it a little bit quicker? The way I experienced it, or would we rub off on each other? But I experienced it like you would.
I think the overlap would create kind of like a compromise of how time is experienced.
But if we both experienced it as like hyperdrive or slow, it would probably like really be.
I don't know, man. I can't even wrap my head around that. Like, I don't know. To the people observing, it might appear faster. I think to us, it would appear slower. Anyway, the point I was getting at was time is experienced differently by the individual. So, like, there's a general rule to time. You know, there's, like, a vague, like, foundation that, let's say, you know, oh, obviously the Earth, you know, with the rotation and the distance from the sun, like, all these factors come into play, and it has its own, like, vague, like, rule. And then we alter and, you know, tweak this rule as individuals and experience time slightly different. So
I'm trying to think of a way to ask you this question. I'm trying to think time related wise. I don't know if I can quite get it to where you'd understand what I'm trying to ask you. So
well, think about it. I mean, there's plenty to talk about. Like, I can go back to memories. I was talking about memories earlier and how that's like the foundation for time. And I think that children see time, you know, I was talking about how they have like dyslexia. I mean, they perceive time as a whole instead of, you know, in an order. And I think that babies or infants, you know, nobody can remember their, well, some people can, but most people can't remember their infancy. And I think that's because no memories are developed and no time is experienced. So they kind of...
What do you think's going on in a little baby's head, you know? Or even like when they're a fetus and they're kicking around in the stomach and they're moving and they're flipping. I mean, what do you think's going on in there?
I don't know.
That's what I always wonder. I'm like, man, what... Just to be able to think of a little baby's brain, a little newborn, when they're cooing and they're moving and, you know what I mean? Like, what's going on? You know what I mean? Like, what could they possibly be thinking about?
I feel like they would,
like, there's gotta be, you know what I mean? Like, what are you think? You know, what could you possibly be thinking about?
Everything. I mean, I feel like they could be thinking about everything and juggling all these strains of thought.
Like, how do they comprehend that? Like, they don't know any language. This is the kind of things that I think about. Like,
yeah,
they open their eyes for the first time and it's like, what? And they say you can't see. You know, they can't see very far for however long, a few days or a week. But when they finally grasp, or a few months, they finally grasp and see everything. Like, what are you thinking? Like, what in the hell? But how do you even express that in your head? How do you go, like, that person, like, in your head, how do you think that? Who is this person? How do you think that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, how do they ever completely...
How can you imagine thought without language?
Exactly. That's what I mean. Like, well, how are they thinking? That's what I'd love to try to figure out. That's what...
But you know what? It's not even, like, a thought because it passes through so quickly. Like, I think that memory slows down the experience. And language allows it to be experienced. But if we didn't have language, a thought would pass through our mind instantaneously. Like,
so exactly. So I mean, like, how? I don't understand as a being how you that doesn't wouldn't make you go insane. Like, I don't understand. You know what I mean? Like, how would you comprehend anything? Like, imagine not being able to. You know what I mean? Those thoughts instantly come. All this, it would be like things hitting you in the face.
Maybe they understand better. Maybe they see true. Because they see without bias. It's like. It's like you have to make a decision. Like, do you want to be infinitely aware and have no effect on the outside world? Or do you want to, you know...
But I still don't understand how they're comprehending those ideas. Like, I just don't know. I guess through sound waves and vibrations and stuff. And
they're probably just picking up on other people's, like, mind waves or thought patterns. You know, they're probably like, you know, a baby cries when somebody walks into the room... maybe that person's, you know, had a bad day or something. Like, it's like they don't have their own, like, experiences or emotions or references. So they kind of, like, excuse you. It's just like they borrow and pick up on other people's. And then, like, they eventually start mimicking those, you know, especially of their parents and family, and then develop their own personality.
But do you still see where I'm coming from? It still doesn't quite... Like, that would actually almost make sense that... That consciousness is ever going, because I never actually thought about it as hard as I think about it now. It doesn't make any sense. Well, they say babies in the womb can hear and they enjoy music and it makes them smarter. How can listening to Beethoven and Mozart make them smarter? Like, how is that working? How
I think it's
they're saying that it's pretty much scientifically proven that it works, but how does that work?
Yeah.
How?
Well, that's like a pattern, you know, like music. You know, particularly that would like make more Mozart.
Sense though, because they would just hear like the sound waves through the brain would.
Yeah.
But that makes more sense than where do they ever, you know what I mean? Like, when do you ever decide that? This must be my mom. Like, boom. Where did that? This must be my mom. Like, I don't know where you just.
I think it's just experiencing repeated patterns. You know, like they see the same face enough times that it starts like, you know.
Right, but that, you know, but still, it doesn't answer where the like, the initial personality, the initial thought, the initial. What in the hell? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, never. Yeah.
I don't think that is even a part of it. It's just kind of like all knowing. Like, I know everything. Right. I don't have to think about anything. You
but
know,
just to be, but just to be at that point, that would seem like we work backwards. Then, like, if you're born completely, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I don't
well, if we hit ourselves in the head hard enough, we could probably simulate it. So let's get the let's get the mallet.
I guess that drives me a little more crazy. I guess I don't know.
I
don't think you grasp completely what I'm.
Maybe not. But I was thinking about like babies and how, like, at what point do they develop that first memory? And it's like that first memory is what allows, you know, other memories to stick. It's like you need that reference point in order to communicate.
Because mm-hmm.
if you didn't have that memory, that first like solid, you know, graspable object, then you wouldn't be able to relate to people. So I think the first dream an infant has, I think the first time they dream is probably the first time they separate reality from imagination. I think in the natural state, like, a baby just kind of experiences, you know, everything that's around them. And then eventually there comes a point where, like, the mind separates, like, you know, opposite pairs of opposites, like good and evil, or, you know. And they all have, like, their own reference point, you know. Like, one person's good person could be another person's evil comparatively. So, like, once that first foothold is put in place, like, they can just start collecting other memories and other thought patterns, and then, you know, the ball starts rolling.
I don't know, man. I still... what else we got?
Another thing I want to talk about was how prophecy... prophecy could be a form of time travel. You know, if you see a specific path that you want to choose, you can pursue that path. And your awareness would transcend time because you would actually be perceiving the future.
So you think there's like a collective awareness? Because they say that works. Like, if everybody thinks or prays or kind of goes for one thing, there's kind of a result. Like, do those experiments, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Like, everybody in the world, many people as you can, like, think about this one thing, about healing this one person or something. Supposedly that works.
Yeah, I totally believe that works.
Really?
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, I've seen that kind of thing firsthand. And I wouldn't say I'm a religious person, but I'm a spiritual person, and I do pray a lot. And pretty much all of my prayers are answered in some form or another. I see how reality, like, takes shape, you know, according to our will. But it's also, like, the compromised reality. For example, if I pray for a job, I'll get a job. But if I pray for a specific job and there's other candidates that deserve it or want it more than me, you know, they would get it before me.
That much harder
so,
to actually get the job.
So, like, whatever reality manifests is, like, the compromise of, you know, everyone's will.
Got me thinking totally different now about stuff.
And going back a little bit here, I remember before Obama was elected, there was this, I don't know, team of statisticians or something that predicted he would be elected because of, you know, whatever information they'd used in the past. And I remember thinking, as soon as I heard that, like, that's ridiculous. Like, that's tainting the experiment. Because once you put that out there, like, that immediately alters the future. Like, for example...
That's like Ron Paul. Oh, he can't win. I'm not going to vote. That's one of those things where you go, well, he's not going to win. It just triggers, and then everyone thinks that way, and then it happens.
Yep.
As a self-fulfilling prophecy.
So, like, even predicting the future alters the future. So predicting the future is more or less impossible unless you predict it in such a vague way, a.k.a. like Nostradamus or, you know, the Bible. If you predict it so vaguely that it, you know, becomes...
maybe different things, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, you're predicting the future, but you're also just...
hedging your bets.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, let's see. Any other interesting time avenues that we can explore here?
Not that I can really think of. Want to get? Did you? Was that it? Is that all you had on the agenda?
I have one more idea I can probably tack on here, related to the topic. There's a movie called The Last Temptation of Christ, mm-hmm. And in the movie, you know, Jesus dies on the cross, and at some point, like, this little girl comes up to him. She says she's an angel, and she says, you know, you don't have to suffer. God doesn't want you to suffer. You can come down. You know, he's just testing your faith or whatever. And then he comes down, and then he lives a normal life. You know, he has a family. He has, like, tons of kids.
Now, what is this?
It's called The Last Temptation of Christ.
Okay, go on.
Martin Scorsese, I think he came out in the 90s.
Really?
Yeah.
I've not
seen this. Okay. So, you know, Jesus just lives like a regular person. And then, you know, years go by, and he's on his deathbed. And Judas comes up to him, and he's, like, calling him, like, a hypocrite and a liar or whatever, and, like, the false Messiah. And then Jesus is like, you know, what's going on? And he says, like, you were fooled. And he, like, points at the angel, and it was the devil fooling him to get off the cross. And...
Oh, man, really?
Yep. And then at that moment, like, on his deathbed, he's like, take me back, God. And then he's like, I want to be the Messiah or whatever. And then, you know, just like that, in an instant, he flashes back to the cross. And, like, that entire life that he imagined was all in his head. And he just experienced the entire thing from the cross. Like, he experienced an entire life in a single moment.
Kind of mad you ruined it for me, but it's free. Now, so did the girl never walk up? He just, like, imagined if a girl would have walked up, that's what would have happened?
He was exploring a possible reality in his mind.
That's tripped out, man.
Yeah.
It's a Scorsese movie?
Yeah.
I hate you for ruining it for me.
There's more to it, and it's totally entertaining. It's worth watching.
Really?
Yeah.
Who's in it?
Harvey Keitel is Judas. The guy, Paul Smekler from the Boondock Saints, he's Jesus. God, I can't remember his name. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Look it up. Yeah,
no, I will. IMDb it.
But it's like that whole concept of, like, first of all, it goes back to what we were saying about time. Like, time is you can travel between time. It's nonlinear. You know, like, everything's in your mind, and you can explore any possibility that you want to. But at the same time, it also comes down to the moral choice of, like, what becomes good or what becomes right. And it's like by Jesus, you know, getting off the cross, he was, in essence, admitting he was wrong or that he made a mistake. And the reason he became right is because he stayed on the cross and died. And I'm not, like, preaching or anything
right.
like that.
No, I understand. It's just the way.
So it's like what became true, what became truth and reality was a matter of willpower. Like, because he decided to be resolute and stay.
That's an odd... I'm sorry, I'm just stuck at that. That movie, that's like such an awesome concept for a movie for someone to actually do.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, man.
Have you seen Dark City?
I have never seen Dark City. Oh. I've heard of Dark City and I've heard of it. I know, man. I know.
They implant memories.
Like, all right, whoa, you're not going to ruin this one.
Okay. A similar thing happens in that movie at the end.
Kill you, dude.
But it's different enough that you won't see it coming. Every moment in time contains every other moment in time. It's like,
let's go. I'm going to perceive a reality of where you didn't ruin.
That's a capital idea.
I'm just messing with you, man. All right, into the ether. We'll take a quick break and wrap it up.
Right on.
You good?
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Into the ether.
You can make a plan, carve it into stone, like a feather falling, it is still unknown, until the clock speaks up, says it's time to go, you can choose the high, with a lower road, you might clench your fist,
might fork your tongue as you curse or pray.
And back to the end of the ether. Take care of some loose ends. Get out of here.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. One more time, my website. And the music
dies. You're going, it's good.
My website is www.etsy.com/shops/magic with MAGICKSHIRTS. I know it's a long one.
One more time.
www.etsy.com/shop/magic shirts. Go buy something.
That is not, that's magic with a K, right?
That's correct. Okay. Yep. So for all your supernatural needs.
Yeah. Oh, and speaking of, you're going to try to design a shirt for us, right?
Yeah. We'll experiment with some logos and see. Yeah.
Do an overhaul. The logo, yeah. Because that was just something I threw together in about 10 minutes from it.
Well, it looks pretty still. So I guess we haven't really decided what we're going to do next week, but it's going to be fun. There's a million things. Guaranteed that if you listen, you'll be
entertained. Hit the like button, damn it. For all the people that are downloading the show, we got almost 30 likes on Jay and Ken show and 10 less listeners a week.
Yeah, like
it's
it.
Irritating.
And tell all your friends.
And all the people who aren't going to listen probably anymore because no Justin. All I can say is, you know, thanks for listening, and I think you should continue to listen. And Justin may, you never know, he may not be gone forever. But, you know.
So that's our first show. Hope you guys enjoyed it.
Thank you, Tom.
My pleasure.
Great job, and I think. All right. Anything else? You good?
I have no loose ends. I think we are ready for closure.
All right. End of the ether.
Peace.